Oh, this first hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University.
It's a calling, a strange compulsion that makes us leave our homes, taking music on the road. We can't deny it, though we sometimes try it. It always haunts us if we hesitate to go. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May your wheels always turn and may the sunlight of your day. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May you find your comfort in friends along the way.
Isn't that great stuff? That is the Anonymous Four. And they've been around for a long, 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 long time. You go back and you look in their catalog, they have a ton of stuff out. A lot of it's out of print, but they're an a cappella, all women's group, and they do a lot of sort of classical stuff. They get into some medieval things, and then they also get into early American things. They have wonderful albums out of things like Wayfaring Stranger and Never Grow Old, and a lot of these very, very early hymns, and some of the Anglo-American ballads and things, and they're really into it, and they're just amazing. They use reverb in such a way they create a wonderful ethereal sound. This is from an album called The American Angel. And it's songs of hope and glory and redemption. And it's a bunch of hymns is what it is. And it's wonderful, wonderful stuff. And they always come out with these booklets that are in all kinds of different languages and have little lyrics and things in them. The Anonymous Four. And I heard Jesse Jacobs way early in the morning played something from this album that I'm going to play after this next track, which is from the Prairie Home. This is an album of early Prairie Home Companion stuff, way back before it was a national broadcast. And they had all these Minnesota folks and a couple of guests and everything. This is way, way back from the 70s, the mid to late 70s, long before it became national in 1980. And people like Bob Douglas and Pop Wagner and all those Minnesota guys that came on, and it was kind of a real loose-knit show. But Bob Douglas, and he showed up on the show for quite a bit. He and his buddies did another gospel thing that we'll do here. So here we go, Bob Douglas. It sounds like this.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning,
and you know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It makes it right. May have doubts and fears,
my eyes be filled with tears,
but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning,
and you know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning,
and you know a little fire is burning,
you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it right.
Thank you.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes.
begun. Now is the time to slip away from the California sun to a place where a man can be free as the wind, as wild as the husky's cry. Now winter is nigh, let us fly to my log cabin home in the sky. Recalling those days with a sigh. Now winter is nigh, let us fly to my log cabin home in the sky.
For love so far.
Wow, complete with using that first and fifth in the intervals there, so that you don't have a harmony that is third part harmony necessarily. You have the first and the fifth, and you're minus the third in there, which makes a which is old style, the way a lot of folks used to do way back, and it creates a kind of a modal effect. Pretty neat stuff. The Anonymous Four. And this album called American Angel, Songs of Hope and Glory and Retention. If you noticed on the Holy Manna Cut and on this Parting Hand, those are old shape note tunes. And part of that whole sacred harp song thing where they have tablature and the notes are in different shapes and they're like fa's and so's and do's and they're sung that way, and when you sing them in conjunction with each other, you know what the notes are going to be by reading that tablature. And since the music was a lot less complex, the tablature was a lot easier to work with, and there are people who study that kind of thing, the old shape note singing. There are folks out here that do that. Yeah. Anonymous Four. We also heard from Bob Bovey and Stevie Beck. Bob Bovey'd been out here couple times back in the late 70s, early 80s. He's a cowboy singer. And I mean a real cowboy singer, not a Garth Brooks type cowboy singer. He's like studies it and traditional and way back into the old cattle drive days in the 1860s and 70s. Stevie Beck, those of you who are long time Prairie Home Companion listeners, Stevie Beck was the auto harp player, and she was on a lot of those early 80 and mid 80 Prairie Home shows, and eventually became an associate producer of the show. Stevie Beck, who played amazing auto harp, and they did that little log cabin in the sky. And yeah, this is a good CD. This is one that they offered a couple of years back. It's still available. It's called Sweet Sweet Songs, Early Prairie Home, and it's got all these folks that got that whole show started that Garrison doesn't even think about anymore, probably. Because he's too big a star now. These were local Minnesota guys that just came out and did the show. That's how Peter Ostrusko got started. And Dakota, Dave Hull, and Sean Blackburn, who were amazing guitar players and did a lot of swing and jazz and folky things. Dakota, Dave Hull did his own solo guitar album. And I need to get some of their stuff on CD. They did some amazing stuff, especially their early stuff, which is really hard to get. Dakota, Dave Hull, and Sean Blackburn. This is great stuff. This is their version of Miss the Mississippi and You, and it sounds like this.
I'm growing tired of these bright city lights, tired of the glamour and tired of the sights. In all my dreams I'm longing once more to be back in your arms on that old river shore. I am sad and weary, far away from home. I miss the Mississippi and you. Days are dark and dreary everywhere I roam. How I long for Mississippi and you. Roaming this wide world all over, always alone. I miss the Mississippi and you. long for Mississippi and you. Nothing seems to cheer me under heaven's door. I miss the Mississippi and you.
Poem might be called futuristic fiction, but as the gap between the perceived present and an imagined future narrows, who knows? We are often taken by surprise when, without warning, the future arrives. This could be happening as we speak, the saga of the robotic wrangler. They fashioned a high-tech machine, a new robotic wrangler, to replace an ancient has-been with something much newfangler. It was promised this device with strong metallic body would easily do twice the work of any waddy. With solar panels on its hat and microchip for brains, it was the new aristocrat of the cattle-punching range. Its grip was stronger than a vice, and it never needed sleep. Never mind about the price, no matter what, it's cheap. It worked all day without fatigue. Its techniques were precise. It seemed to be in its own league, conscientious and concise. They programmed it for card games such as whist and five-card stud, and it remembered people's names, or if not, called them Bud. It did the work without complaint, the truth can now be told, but on the ranch no more it ain't. But no, it was not sold. It didn't wear out nor get scrapped, this titan of titanium. It wasn't stolen nor kidnapped, nor crack its cranium. Like those who hoist their own petards, its downfall was a flaw in how it played those games of cards, in this case, five-card draw. To master proper people skills is hard for most machines, but it seemed that it had learned the drills for regular routines. It would, for ladies, tip a hat and say, "No, after you." Could engage in mundane chit-chat, and it didn't smoke or chew. Now, the crew was on the porch one night, and poker was the pastime. The robot winning left and right, but it would be the last time. When it was given social graces, there must have been some bug, for its sleeve was seen to hold two aces. Bob yelled, "You mangy mug!" He pulled his pistol in a flash, a snub-nosed Smith & Wesson. Six reports and a heavy crash killed that poker session, and also made that robot hand forever obsolete. As Bob observed, "I just can't stand a dirty, low-down cheat." Now, machines do have their uses. I'm not trying to condemn, but let's not let them seduce us, and don't turn your back on them.
Gotta build my house on some older ground. Gotta build it up, bottom of the tide. Put a roof overhead that will cover my bed, where I dream at night of all that I get it.
build my house on some old dirt ground. Gotta build it up by on the top. Put a roof overhead, and that will cover my bed where I dream at night of all that I my skills to use. I could raise the walls of my house.
Loretta Hagen. Loretta Hagen. And I'm going to build my house. Sundown Till Dawn is the album. And, yeah, it's kind of a, it kind of follows with the robotic, in the kind of the rural sense. Dick Warwick before that, who lives down there in Oaksdale, he comes up for the farmer's markets and sells spoon-made stuff, stuff made out of spoons, different figurines and different types of stuff like that, and uses coins and makes belt buckles and forks, handles, and all kinds of stuff. And he makes, and he, it's his art. And he's pretty good at it. I mean, skiers and Vikings and helmets and all made out of forks and spoons and knives. Well, we have to take a little bit of a break, and we will be back with Dick Warwick and others and Loretta Hagen and who knows what else. But we do have to take a break, and the folks can tell you what's going on. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marm. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a little trip to Coney Island here. Yes, we are.
This program is supported by your financial contribution. Thank you. And by the UI Martin Institute, hosting former Danish ambassador to Syria, Wolf Hombo, speaking about the complexity of the Syrian crisis from a first-hand policy-making perspective. Tuesday, February 2nd, 6:30 p.m. in the UI Admin Auditorium. Open to the public.
Sun may peek through this morning, but expect a cloudy day with a 50% chance of rain or snow showers and an inch possible for Lewiston. A high in Pullman of 37, Clarkston 45, and then a chance of snow showers through the night with lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, still snow showers likely with highs similar as today.
Our consumer society has coined a term I honestly never heard until it was applied to me. This is a true account. I give you the end user. My son calls me an end user of machinery, cars, and tools. He claims, does my accuser, that I'm among those silly fools who's prone to using something last, wears it completely out, but whose utility was passed years earlier, no doubt. Who buys some rusty rattle trap which should be in the trash or melted down for metal scrap instead of bought for cash. He thinks the good things I possess are victims of abuse and after several weeks of stress are reduced to pure refuse. He believes I'm an abuser of goods of every sort. That's why I'm the end user and that I do it just for sport. It's true, I usually buy stuff cheap that's seen some better days. It beats a price that's way too steep, which almost never pays. My tractor is a 75. My combine's the same year. They both are very much alive in the prime of their career. And when I have to make repairs, I don't buy parts brand new. I find some slightly worn spares. They're cheap, and they will do. I buy no autos from a lot where prices are inflated. Any car I've ever bought, although a bit outdated, gets me where I need to go, and though it may be dented, I've paid in full, I do not owe, which keeps me quite contented. I drive until I nearly drop and collect a few more dings from carting heavy loads on top, bad roads, and other things. I get full value from a rig, though others rock with mirth. I don't really give a fig. I get my money's worth. I'm not the one who built my house. I'm the second owner in it. I'm the second husband of my spouse, at least as of this minute. Now, why buy name brands from a rack in a trendy new boutique? Those duds will really set you back and be passé next week. Try St. Vinny's or Goodwill for styles tried and true. You'll be attired fit to kill in garments good as new. Toothbrushes, dentures, why pay more? Nah, now I'm only joking. I'll purchase those things from a store, even though I take a soaking. It's true, though, when I'm finished with stuff, I find no buyer. And now my own worth is diminished. I'm sure no one would hire me for any type of task, at any price or wage. In fact, all that I really ask is to enjoy a ripe old age. I'll live life till the final shout. I'll drain the whole darn cup. I'll wear myself completely out and use my life clear up. Then when I'm old and obsolete, a decrepit, broke-down loser, my life will finally be complete. I'll be my own end user.
From my front window, I watch you go. at your stature, so bold and secure that you will stand forever in sun and clouds. Lightning and thunder don't bother you none. From my front window I watch you go.
I've seen in the Australian outback utes come into town at sunrise carrying loads of the night's harvest. I have imagined one of these kangaroo hunts in A Tale to Rue. I'll tell you all a story, which I'll vouch is partly true, about the time I went to hunt the ruddy kangaroo. We met out at the edge of town a half hour before dark, where we fine-tuned our rifle sights by shooting at a mark. Then, just to ascertain that our aim remained quite true, we guzzled down a Bundy and a slab or two of brew. We then leapt up into the tray of someone's beat-up ute and hove into the back blocks to shoot and shoot and shoot. Our driver was a local girl, a pretty little thing, who'd kissed the cousin of a man whose uncle met the king. She was a staunch protector of marsupials and such, and every time we took good aim, she popped the bloody clutch. The roos stood still as statues when hit by our spotlight. I squeezed off 10 or 20 rounds as they all took to flight. We chased them then like dingoes tearing through the native scrub, yelping like the hound dogs of a pommy hunting club. Soon I held one close at bay, though some would call it folly. I donned the gloves and boxed him just like Foreman or Ali. He was a big, mean-looking red. He bared his evil teeth, and through that smile I plainly saw malevolence beneath. He cracked his knuckles, flexed his claws, and said, "Come make my day," then balanced on his tail and commenced to flail away. He gouged my thigh, he blacked my eye, he bit me on the cheek. I kicked him in the gut so hard he sprang some sort of leak. He pinched my nipple, made a dimple where none had been before, then pummeled me about the shoulders, head, and neck some more. We fought like Flame and Frazier, till in the 18th round, with one tremendous clout, I knocked him senseless to the ground. He lay as if in slumber, and well, he should be tired. But when we checked his pulse, we discovered he'd expired. My mates all stood round gaping at my pugilistic prowess, saying, "We'll remove the hide now, that is, if you'll allow us." We swiftly skinned his clothes off while he slept forevermore, then found our way back to the esky and the 4x4. We recapitulated over countless quaffs of ale, enveloped in the essence of Lee Kangaroo de Mail. We carried on till sunrise glinted off our rifle barrels, then went to town where folks ran screaming, "Look out, it's the Farrells!" We bartered skins for whiskey while the barmen pinched their noses, then challenged everyone to fight, but no one would oppose us. So from those limp no-hopers we did ourselves excuse and found some shady river gums where we all had a snooze, waking up at sundown for some tucker, smokes, and booze. Then back to work we went in quest of Kanga Bloody Roos.
Day is night and night is day, a memory slips away, faces come familiar, some forgotten where they're from. Sun goes down, she calls out, walking endlessly about, family, friends, and children's names fade as signals change. Sundown till dawn, Sometime in the long ago, her life was full and on the go. Where she's gone and what she sees must be like a night in dreams. In her world, a little girl clings to me with hands so frail, screaming loud to be let out of this savage jail.
steady like devotion, she sails the bitter ocean. If it wasn't for lovesick sailors, there'd be nothing left but flotsam singing, why, me oh my, is there a better man than I? I hope you find your way back home before you lie high and dry. I hope you find your way back home before you die. Her sails below like bubbles, though you sip your daily doubles. If she wasn't so fond of the weather, she might give the deckhands trouble. Singing, why, me oh my, is there a better man than I? I hope you find your way back home before you lie high and dry. I hope you find your way back home before you die. One day when I grew older, I found I could not hold her. She took on a fine young skipper, soon run her up on a boulder. Singing, why, me oh my, is there a better man than I? I hope you find your way back home before you lie high and dry. I hope you find your way back home before you die. Now the pleasures of the harbor don't include a lady barber. If it wasn't for Long John Silver, all of us pirates would have been martyrs. Singing, why, me oh my, is there a better man than I? I hope you find your way back home before you lie high and dry. I hope you find your way back home before you lie high and dry. I hope you find your way back home before you die.
Oh, Gordon Lightfoot. Gordon Lightfoot from his Sundown album, which came out in, what, 1974, 75? Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot. Good song. He has a great song called The List. Maybe we'll play that in the second hour of the show, because it's a good little song. There's a little song in my list for tonight. I'd like to try and fill it in. Gordon Lightfoot. And before that, we heard some pop. We heard from Trevor Rogers, who is a member and a band member, probably the only original member of the Clumsy Lovers, who still play around this neck of the woods. They're a good kind of bluegrassy dance, pop, all kinds of different things going on band. And Trevor Rogers is the guitar player for the Clumsy Lovers. And I thought I would play from his solo album. It goes into the pop genre. If you want to think of pop as a genre, it goes into that. And that's what he's all about. And he's actually a pretty good writer, really, and Trevor Rogers. And I thought I would just share that with some of you folks, because I am a firm believer in the fact that in the folk thing, we can't eliminate pop from the mix. Pop is, in fact, I would say to some extent, yesterday's pop, today's folk. Which, if you really extended that whole thing, you could say that Alice Cooper is folk music. Okay, got to think about that. Ozzy Osbourne is the genre itself. You know, we've divided up. There's an inherent need in humankind to label and to pigeonhole, rather than to allow things to expand into each other and mold and meld and all that kind of thing. And I'd be really, 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 really careful with labels, even the label of folk. You know, there are those that folk is the very purest thing and just implies one guitar and one out-of-tune singer and leave it at that. There was an engineer for a while here that worked with Northwest Public Radio, and he said, just find anything that's bad and out-of-tune and acoustic and call it folk. And that was his view. So you have to think about all of that stuff. What is folk when you talk about the Chieftains and Turlock O'Carolan, who was a composer who worked with Vivaldi. He hung out with Vivaldi. And there are those in Irish music who say that since his stuff wasn't part of the oral tradition that it was composed, it's more classical than folk. And be very careful with this labeling thing. The Rankin family in the background. Amanda Cully doing the playlists as we challenge each other on the question of genre. Email me at dsandaniel, M-A-H-E-R, at WSU.edu, or you can call me at 509-332-5047. That's 509-332-5047. And I will get back to you. This is the last show for January of 2016. We're going to be back for the second hour. You just hang on, because we're coming right back. Hang on now.
Till the end, without the moon, the old one, the goose, and the shanty, Morun Gaudi, last year, the steel, 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 Mor